Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zachary Scanning coming to you live from North Carolina, and what a blessing it is to have each and every one of you on with us and those who listen via replay. Today is a refreshing day, to say the least, as we're seeing the truth be exposed and be, I don't say challenged, but more so stood up against. That brave heart spirit is arisen in this nation and around the world, which I think is very much needed. And today I want to continue on the prayer points from the book Reordering the Day from Chuck Pierce. And I want to focus on Genesis 22 today, the story of Abraham taking Isaac up to Mount Moriah to offer him as a sacrifice, and it's a testing. And right now, we as Americans are in a season of testing. And yesterday we talked about removing the iniquities, like in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, as the prayer from David in Psalms in 139 to offer ourselves up to the Lord as being obedient sacrifices, to have those things removed from us. And so now we see this removal, uprooting of the iniquities, the sins, and now it's the placement of things being put back in. And the verse I want to point out today is in Genesis 22, verse 3. And it says, "So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him." And then we see here, arose early in the morning. So we continue to see this throughout Scripture, the showing and telling of the times of the watches throughout Scripture. And then we go through the story. Okay, he goes up the mountain with Isaac. Isaac asks him the question, where's the goat going to come from? He says, the Lord will provide, and ties him down. It's about to, come down and kill him. The angel stops him and sees, because he's testing him. And then in verse 14, Abraham calls the place after offering up the sacrifice. He calls the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said, to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Jehovah Jireh is there. And the prayer focus in this is that in this season of testing, we want to let the Lord show us how to meet him in the midst of this season of testing, and watch for him to reveal himself as Jehovah Jireh, as our provider in this season of darkness, and even in the season of head, as we are going to have to navigate the challenging dynamics to be able to get back to a place of freedom, not only in this nation, but around the world, so that we have the ability to be able to share the gospel, pray for people to be healed, have them have the open mind to accept that. And obviously, with the power and authority of the Holy Spirit with us, that will be nothing of our doing, and solely based upon on his presence. And so as we go through this season of testing, of uprooting and dealing with things in our lives, let's pray that the Lord, plant in us his DNA to guide us to the places where he would have us be, even as the story of Abraham, of knowing where to go to make the sacrifices, knowing where to move, what businesses to do, to business ventures to take up, etc. As potential freedoms are being taken away by even your simple employers. So we see this here as our focus throughout Scripture, as we continue on these prayer points. And I want to continue to stay abreast to what's going on in Ukraine. And I said, been saying this, reading this, of it is of no strategic value for the White House and really anybody to say a date of when the Russians were going to invade Ukraine. And Russia is mocking Ukraine. I mean, Russia is mocking the White House for, if you have evidence of us invading, you have to prove it, otherwise it's slander. And so yesterday I talked about how the NATO chief said that they see no evidence of Russia moving back, so did Ukraine. And now the White House admits to that of, oops, actually, rather than pulling troops back, they're amassing more troops near the border. Again, that was the question of, look, where are you getting this information from? And this goes back to, especially with what's going on with the Durham report, I think continuing to show that Jake Sullivan has the lack of ability to verify evidence and strategic information. And look, not only him, but the people around him. You look at what happened in Afghanistan. You're looking at what's happening now. They have false information. Or at least the inability to realize the true significance of what's going on. Russia could be playing games for all intents and purposes, and the National Security Advisor just fell for it. So we're seeing Ukraine, their policy of we'll see it when we believe it, we'll believe it when we see it, kind of coming out to be true here. And they're the ones who led this. Not the, if Ukraine were to listen to the United States, I mean, they're people who are getting their information from the United States. It's a little crazy. There's wisdom there with the Ukrainian leaders, and I think that's a good thing for them to be able to stand up and have their voice be heard in this season. They're continuing to ask for a seat at the table to be recognized as a sovereign nation, mainly in the eyes of the Russians and Vladimir Putin. And what I want to point out of why we really need to pray about this issue over this weekend is because Vice President Harris is going to Germany this morning to participate in the Munich Security Conference, which goes now until Sunday. And according to senior administrator and officials, Harris is leading the U.S. delegation as a resounding signal that engagement with our allies and partners is an absolute critical part of our overall diplomacy and our approach to this situation involving Russia, Ukraine, and European security. So as the vice president leads these talks with foreign leaders, oh dear God, let us intercede for this administration, for those working around her, to have the fear and wisdom of the Lord while they're over there in dealing with Russia and Ukraine, because God knows she's going to need as much help as she possibly can, not only to navigate the dynamics of what is going on with Russia, of whether what they're telling the world is true or not, but then also the fact of, if we look at the evidence of what's happening in our southern border that she's been in charge of, oh dear God, we need to pray and intercede for wisdom to be with her and those who work with her. Okay, I want to update also what's going on in Canada, and I want to point this out to show how far some government officials in Canada are willing to go. So we're seeing now with the Emergencies Act being put forward, they're able to limit your banking transactions, whether it be through the Canadian monetary systems or even cryptocurrency, etc. They count everything as terrorism. Well, the news came out yesterday And I want to point this out for one very, very, very important reason, to see how far people would be willing to go to silence someone who opposes something that they might, quote unquote, believe in. As a Canadian hacker brags about hacking Gifts and Go donor files, and the Canadian media also brags about doxing those donors, and Canadian banks are then beginning to block withdrawals. And the hacker who has self-identified himself via his TikTok channel bragging about this is Aubrey Cottle, and otherwise known as Kurt Tenner. I probably butchered that, but this paragraph right here, this one sentence, tells you everything you need to know. Of be aware, especially as we head into the midterms, of people who want to push for mandates and et cetera, and take away freedoms. There is no link that they will not go to. That's my point of what I want to point out. The article says, after retrieving all the donor files, Aubrey, pictured left, then began sharing the data files with the media in Canada and RCMP officials so the government and media could work together to target the donors for retaliation under the Federal Emergencies Act as deployed by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Again, Gifts and Go is an American company that just got hacked by a Canadian who looks like, I'm not saying he is, it's alleged, looks like he might be working with the Canadian government and is definitely, after the fact, working with the Canadian media, and the Canadian media are bragging about it. Working with banks to prevent people from pulling their money out, prevent them from being able to have freedom to live their life and pay for basic necessities. Some people are also losing their jobs, even here in America. There's public officials in Canada that are coming under scrutiny because they donated to this. Meanwhile, you're seeing the mandates being ended on provinces across Canada. And I want to play this video from the Canadian parliamentary, because Trudeau is being challenged on the legalities of how he implemented this. And this is a proper response of how to challenge this situation. And then later on, it gets in its whole crazy. But this is, Okay. So let me play this and discuss.
The honorable leader of the opposition.
But she is.
Yesterday, the Prime Minister invoked the Emergencies Act. 24 hours in, and there are more questions than answers. Questions about whether this is justified.
So this is the conservative side getting up, asking, hey, we have these questions. Why aren't these being answered?
Questions around if the criteria is met. Questions around what this means to Canadians' rights and freedoms.
That's a key point. What does this mean, like with the government overreach here in America and candidates, what does this mean now and in the future, basically is what she's asking there with this Emergencies Act, because of how it got implemented. And she gets to that here in a second.
Parliamentary approval is required in order for the Prime Minister to use this unprecedented sledgehammers.
I want to point that out, is just like here in America, Trudeau is going around the end. And my point of showing and talking about this issue with Canada is because it shows that to no end will they actually do what would be proper, which would be just to end the mandates. And this is from the federal government standpoint of view. He's saying we need to put these on because the local municipalities can't do it by themselves. They need our help. Meanwhile, local officials are ending their mask mandates. And she gets to that here in a second.
Can the Prime Minister tell us, when will Parliament be debating this? Will it be coming to us on Friday? And does he expect that we will look at it Friday, but then rise, take a week off, and not actually deal with this until March?
And that's rightfully so, is look, if you're going to put this in place, it has to be done through their Congress system, their Parliament. Just like in America, it has to be done through bipartisan system. It is not done. And this is his answer. Trudeau's answer.
Speaker, after discussions with cabinet and caucus, after consultations with the premiers of all provinces and territories, after conversation with opposition leaders, we decided to invoke the Emergencies Act to supplement provincial and territorial capacity to address the blockades and occupations.
Okay, nothing about ending the mandates. Plus, also, the thing that he's talking about, the provinces can't handle it, blah, blah, blah. Most of them are lifting mandates, and so are the protests being cleared. The border between U.S. and Alberta is being cleared. The Ambassador's Bridge is fully open. Ontario is ending its mask mandates. Chief of Police has resigned because of this order. So we're seeing how far they're willing to go to control, in their eyes, things, because they, based upon their science, and she even calls it out later. I'll put the link to it, about when are we going to stop this false narrative and when are we going to look at the science and actually rule based upon what the science truly says. Now, I bring all that up to say what's going on in Canada, because now we're seeing the news come out of the CDC here in America about what's to be expected of the mask guidelines in the coming weeks. Rochelle Walensky says that now the CDC is looking at removing mask guidelines, not because of science, because there's little evidence of any of that, but for the sole reason that is what she says is no, it disrupts our daily lives, and it's time we get back to dealing with back to normalcy. She said, we must consider hospital capacity as an additional important barometer. We want to give people a break from things like mask wearing, where these metrics are better, and then have the ability to reach them again should things worsen. And ultimately, she's making these decisions because the public outcry is completely against these issues. And one thing I want to point out is she said this multiple times in an interview in front of the House of Representatives about how, well, it's up to the local state levels to decide, but the local and state levels are looking at the CDC as far as what to do. And she got caught on a hot mic, wasn't supposed to be put out there, that the CDC will look to publicly pull back the mask mandates, but still push for that kids and children need to have masks in schools. Complete double-mindedness on this issue, not being clear, saying, well, they need to look at the data based upon their area, based upon hospitalizations, deaths, infectious rates, etc. Okay, what's the litmus test? At what point should they then do that? That would be the question to clarify. So I point this out of the CDC's double-minded on all this. Now we're seeing from James O'Keefe out of Project Veritas that somebody who works within the FDA is now saying that the Biden administration is possibly pushing for an annual shot, just like the flu shot for COVID. And the reason for this would be for the financial windfall for the pharmaceutical companies, because now if you, just like the flu shot, if you have, from a pharmaceutical standpoint, if you have a yearly transaction with the federal government to, for quote unquote, try to force, is what he said, inoculate everyone and as many people as possible, then therefore the gravy train keeps rolling. Again, we talked about this before when all this started. The spirit behind this is a spirit of mammon, money. And we're seeing that play out time and time and time again. Not doing this because this is what the data shows. Not doing this is what will be best for the people, for their health, etc. Doing this for mammon. And look, if you talk to your doctor and he says it's the right thing to do, that's between you and your doctor. But no one should be forced to do something against their will, or their health or conscience sake. So this is coming out, the exposing of everything. And now we're seeing, and this is a prayer point, it's something, a contention point to stand against. This has been tried before, but now it's being tried again. With actual representation, proper representation, where Texas AG Paxton is suing the Biden administration over the transportation mask mandate in the state of Texas, which could possibly be removing the mask mandate for transportation nationwide. If what the CDC says is true, it's up to the local authorities to be able to decide this decision. Okay, then let's play that out in court and let's see what happens. And so Paxton is going to challenge this. in the coming days. So we want to intercede for not only this case, but the case with the federal employees on March 8th, that freedom arise from these, to allow people to make their own decisions without having to risk life and limb, per se, in these situations, to allow freedom to reign, freedom of choice in these instances, because there still is, at the federal level, which is what we saw with the Supreme Court case, and even at the state level, there's nothing within either constitutions, the states or the federal constitution, that says the federal government has the power to mandate such a procedure. And if they were to try to do it, legal analysis says that you would still have to go through Congress, just like the Canadian Parliament is saying to Justin Trudeau. But we're seeing this government overreach. So we want to pray there for that. And then two stories I want to point out of something to pay attention to. And this one we want to pray about, and then the other one is just ridiculous. So the first one is Biden administration is defying a court order that told them that they need to hold oil and gas drilling sales here in the United States. And with everything going on with Russia and Ukraine, it would actually be beneficial for the entire world if the United States were to do this. But because the Biden administration has an agenda, a Green New Deal agenda to lower the use of fossil fuels, to raise the cost of fossil fuels so that we can go into solar and wind energy, because it supposedly works so well, even though you need oil and gas to be able to operate wind turbines. But I digress. And the report goes on to say that the Biden administration missed another deadline to hold quarterly onshore drilling lease sales after, this is the key point, after a federal court ruled it was legally required to do so. The Department of Interior defied the June 2021 court ruling, which ordered the administration to halt its ban on new oil and gas leases. The Western Energy Alliance, a fossil fuel industry group that challenged the ban, said on Wednesday in August 2021, the DOI vowed to publish notices of competitive sales in December and hold a lease sale 45 days later, two promises it failed to keep in court filings. And again, this is why it's very important, because President Biden just told the American people he'll work like the devil to lower prices at the gas pumps, but ultimately the lack of progress, on federal lease sales means he's not trying very hard. That's very true. And if we're worried, if you're truly worried about climate change and all this agenda, why wouldn't America, who when we produce it cheaper, number one, but number two, we produce it cleaner than OPEC and Russia, who Biden is calling upon to produce more oil and gas. Why wouldn't the Americans do it? If we really truly care about this, this is what we would do. And I think it's showing the utter hypocrisy. And ultimately, we need to repent for the lawlessness of the Biden administration and intercede for a brave heart to arise within the administration to get the U.S. back to energy independence. We were that when Biden took office, because Trump got us there. He allowed oil and gas drilling. He allowed us to export our oil to Europe, which is why this issue with Russia is popping up, because Europe needs gas, especially during the winter season. And when your supply gets cut off because of supply chain issues, and then also because you're not producing enough from the America to be able to export, and Europe can't import it because there's nothing to import because you're not producing it. This has happened on day one of Biden's presidency, where he removed the Keystone Pipeline. We talked about it before. Let's continue to pray for some wisdom to arise. And if not, look, let the American people realize what's happening, because they're realizing it at the pump. And so are politicians, which this is utterly hilarious. Vulnerable Senate Democrats are now trying to run as tax cutters because people's pocketbooks are being hurt in this season with high inflation and the rising costs of things because of the supply chain shortage, because of mask mandates, because of the lack of oil and gas drilling in this country. They're seeing it at the pump. They're seeing it at the gas station. And now you have Democrats, vulnerable Democrats like Raphael Warnock, who is a pro-abortion reverend, oxymoron, saying we want to put a pause on the federal gas tax that they just implemented. They just put a tax forward, and now, oh, we want to pause it because we want to get reelected. Hopefully the American people can see through this and realize that they're just doing this to stay in a position of power. And what's funny is the Chuck Schumer in the article goes on to say it would be basically implying that it would be a great thing if Republicans tried to block this. Look, if there is a Republican who tries to block this, utterly ridiculous. Go forward with it. Obviously, curtail it to the guidelines that would actually make it sustainable. But sure, go ahead. Even if it's for temporary, put the tax. My opinion is put the tax break on pause. The tax on pause to give American people a break. Why wouldn't you? And then go poll and say, look, they're the ones who put it on in the first place. Not hard there. But it's easy. It's interesting to see how this stuff is playing out. And then the victory over all this is when states operate according to the legal authority that they have. You have what is happening in Virginia, where the state legislature passed a bill and Governor Youngkin signed the bill banning school mask mandates in Virginia. And what is hilarious about this is that there are parents in Loudoun County and I think one or two other counties that have sued Governor Youngkin because of the mask mandates. It ultimately gives the parents the right. Nothing stops the parents from making their child wear a mask at school or sending them to school with a mask on. Whether they wear it or not is a different story. But this basically makes that lawsuit from the parents obsolete because he went via Republican and Democrat who voted for this thing and he signed it into law. So this is a great victory. Even when people are outraged at this stuff, this shows when you do things properly, and even though no state has the authority to force such things anyways, it's a state and local level issue at the end of the day. But now you're seeing the true realities of this. And this is what's going to come towards the midterm election. It's going to come down to his parent. What's happening at the school level towards these children and parents? What authority are they given in the days ahead? Because at the end of the day, we're seeing the results of continued online learning, continued masking for children as a child just passed out in Los Angeles in 90 degree weather because he had to wear a mask outside during recess. I pause to give effect because that's where we're at in some of these places. So I want to close on that victory there as the educational issue and parents are rising to the cause during this season of testing is showing its fruits. And as we gear up towards the midterm elections, let's not be deceived for people who just want to stay in office to do things that are temporarily seem like they're a good thing, but in reality, even though they're saying Republicans or these people aren't really doing anything to care for the pocketbooks of the American people and their constituents, when that is highly, highly, highly debatable. Hopefully the American people can see straight through these lies come the midterm elections so that we can gain back our freedoms and not be deceived by an agenda that seems in the short term like it will benefit us, but in the long term, it does not leave an inheritance to our children's children. So with that, I bless you guys. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Enjoy the noon hour to pray for your city, for your state, for your for the nation during that time. And we'll be back tomorrow with our noon prayer to close out the week. And I'll be back again as well with the final episode of Morning Briefings for the weekend. So blessings, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a good one.